Well, if you could turn to Mark chapter 14, please. Mark 14. I do have a rather unusual title for my message this morning. It's called The Day the Rooster Preached. I spent my teens on small farms, and we had a rooster, and our rooster would preach every morning. And I figure what he was saying inside, but I couldn't understand his rooster language. But I reckon he was saying there's a new day dawning. And he would cry out every morning. And I think that's what he was saying. There's a new day dawning before the sun rose. Well, today we're going to look at another rooster. And we're going to look at the day the rooster preached. And we'll find this in Mark chapter 14. And you'll find in Mark chapter 14 that Jesus is betrayed and he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's led away to the house of the high priest, where he's falsely accused and beaten. Mark 14:53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Now if you could go down to verse 65 of Mark 14. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him, and to beat him, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Here in this scene, we have Jesus testifying. And while Jesus is testifying, Peter is denying. Jesus is upstairs in the house of the high priest, and Peter's downstairs in the courtyard. When you read the Bible, you find out that Peter denies Christ three times. Mark 14:66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. In the garden, Peter was a brave man. He faced Christ's enemies. There was probably a couple of hundred soldiers, and we looked at it last week that Peter took the sword and he struck the servant's ear, and Jesus was able to heal the ear of the servant. Peter was definitely a brave man in the Garden of Gethsemane. But here in the place of the high priest in the courtyard, Peter becomes a broken man. Peter denied the Saviour that he loved. Now, Peter had been warned by the Lord Jesus of his denials. You'll remember at the Last Supper, Judas left the Last Supper to betray the Lord Jesus, and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives with his disciples. And it was there at the Mount of Olives that Jesus warned Peter that he would deny him three times. Look at verse 26. And when they had sung, this is Mark 14, verse 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I had been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus quoted from Zechariah chapter 13. And Zechariah chapter 13 indicates that the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would be scattered. Zechariah 13 verse 7, part of the verse says this, Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Do you know that in the Bible that Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd? Jesus said in the book of John, I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus was the shepherd, and his disciples were the sheep, and the sheep were to be scattered. Do you know, all of us are just like sheep. The Bible refers to human beings as sheep. Isaiah 53 verse 6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. My brother used to keep sheep. Sheep are pretty dumb animals. Sheep very often wander. They get through fences, they wander away from the farm. Sheep can be a lot of trouble to look after. They are prone to wander. And you and I, we as human beings, we are prone to wander as well. There was a man called Robert Robinson, and Robert Robinson wrote a hymn, and the hymn was called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And he wrote these words. He said, O to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We're all prone to wander. We're all prone to be just like sheep and go the wrong way. And all of us at times have wandered from our Saviour. Isaiah 53 verse 6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 verse 12, He hath poured out his soul unto death. This is talking about Jesus. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The Lord Jesus is the great shepherd. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gave his life for each of us. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Mark chapter 14, Jesus indicated that the shepherd would be struck and that the sheep would be scattered. Now, Peter didn't agree with that. Peter said in verse 29, Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently. "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Peter failed, and the disciples failed the Lord Jesus. And after Jesus' arrest at Gethsemane, we read in Mark 14, verse 50, "Then they all forsook him and fled." Jesus knew what the disciples would do. He knew their hearts. He knew their fears. And Jesus knew in advance that Peter would deny him 3 times. How did Jesus know that Peter was going to deny him? Jesus knew because Jesus was God in the flesh. He knew Peter's denials. You know, he knows our denials. He knows our failures. He knows that when we don't speak for him, he knows when we're silent. He knows when we've gone astray. Jesus knew that about Peter, and he knows that about each of us. You know, I believe that the disciples and Peter had a couple of major problems. And one major problem that they had was actually pride. You remember the Last Supper? Jesus told them of his desire to eat the Passover with his disciples. The Bible says in Luke 22, 19, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Just a few verses on from that, there's a shocking verse. And you read it in verse 24. "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." Jesus is celebrating the Last Supper with them. He's going to die. He's visibly demonstrating that his body is going to be broken. His blood is going to be shed. And yet these faltering disciples are arguing who's going to be the greatest. It's an amazing verse. You know, Judas had a problem with pennies. He was a thief. But the disciples had a problem with pride. And we can see that here. 3 years they'd spent with Jesus. 3 years in the best Bible college ever, learning at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and one disciple was a betrayer, and the other disciples were self-seeking, proud men. And their ambitions had to be broken, their wills had to be broken, and they had to see that they were failures before ever God could use them. They needed not to be proud men, but they needed to be humble men. And how proud they were when they're tossing up between themselves who's going to be the greatest, when Jesus had just told them about his death. Their ambitions had to be broken. You remember Cassius Clay? Remember the boxer? Muhammad Ali? His catch cry was what? "I am the greatest." That was his catch cry. The story goes that Muhammad Ali is on a plane at one stage, and a hostess comes up to him and asks him to buckle his belt. And this was Muhammad Ali's answer. He says, "Superman don't need no seat belts." And the hostess said to him, "Superman don't need no aeroplane either." Muhammad Ali was a proud man. Peter was a proud man also. He wanted to be one of the greatest in the kingdom of God. But Jesus had to break him in order to use him. And as you read about Peter's life, he was filled with self-confidence. In Peter's life, there was pride. In Peter's life, there was prayerlessness. And there's a book called Pride and Prejudice, and a good Christian book would be called Pride and Prayerlessness. And we see his prayerlessness. And we see the disciples and their prayerlessness as well. Because at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Watch and pray." And what did they do? Did they pray? No, they fell asleep. God had to break Peter, and God had to break the disciples before he could ever use them. And I believe that before God can use us greatly in his kingdom, that God has to break us, that God has to bring us to the point in our own lives where it's Jesus only. It's Jesus only that I can possibly go on. It's Jesus only that I can only have his strength. It's Jesus only that can defeat the enemies. It's Jesus only that can defeat my problems. It's Jesus only that can defeat my depression or my sadness. It's Jesus only that can bring comfort to me. And it's Jesus only that needs to break us before we are useful. One preacher said, "Brokenness is essential for usefulness." The Bible says in Psalm 51, and David knew brokenness, and he wrote Psalm 51, and he said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Every Christian that does a great work for the Lord Jesus is a broken Christian. God's got to break us before we become useful. You think of the Apostle Paul, that proud man on the road to Damascus to persecute the church, and he sees that great light, and his life is completely changed when he hears the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And Paul later, when he writes to the Corinthians, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul had to be broken before he could be used. Peter had to be broken before he could be used. You know, we are living in dangerous days. Many young people in Australia today have no need of God. They have no fear of God and no place for God because their identity is grounded in their own adequacy. How sad. We live where we see many young people today are self-reliant, and their self-satisfaction is found in their self-identities. That's really sad. One writer in an internet magazine called The Atlantic says this: "Millennials are the me generation." Now, not all young people are like that, but many young people are growing up in an arrogant self-confidence, and their self-satisfaction is bound up in their self-image. I read this on the internet. Google reports that its Android devices, so its Android cameras, take 93 million selfies per day. People are taking 93 million selfies because people are wrapped up in self. Satisfaction is in self today with many people. In one poll, 18 to 24-year-olds reported that every third photo they take is a selfie. Some subjects in one study reported taking more than 8 selfies a day. Surely that's sad. We're dwelling, I believe, amongst one of the saddest generations to ever exist. For many, their self-worth is bound up in their self-image. And many in the me generation are full of pride and self-satisfaction. God hates pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, "These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." The Bible says, Ezekiel stated this in his day and age, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Ezekiel saw a me generation. Ezekiel saw a generation that was satisfied in pride, in their pride, in the fullness of bread, and in the abundance of idleness. God hates pride. And if you and I are ever going to be used of God, God's got to destroy the pride in our lives. Blessing for the child of God comes by brokenness. Man throws broken things away because they are deemed useless. But God takes broken people and makes them useful. I truly believe that there's no blessing without brokenness. Proud Peter with the sword in the garden is broken in the courtyard of the high priest by the questions of a servant girl and others. Now as Peter was below, this is verse 66, "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed." As I mentioned, Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and the rooster preached his little sermon, a sermon of conviction. The rooster's crowing brought conviction to Peter of what Christ had foretold. That was the day that the rooster preached and Jesus looked. Luke tells us this. "But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed," in verse 61, "and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times.' So Peter went out and wept bitterly." Jesus looked at Peter. Jesus at one stage was upstairs and Peter was downstairs in the courtyard. And maybe Jesus was being led away. And Jesus looks at Peter. And Jesus sees his failure. And you know, Jesus looks at us. And Jesus sees our failure. And Jesus sees our brokenness. But Jesus wasn't finished with Peter. There was a future for Peter. I believe, as a Christian, that we cannot lose our salvation. No matter what you do, amen, we cannot lose it. The Bible says God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. As I mentioned, in the garden, Peter was a brave man when he faced Christ's enemies with a sword. But Peter should have remembered that he was in a spiritual battle. And you and I are in a spiritual battle. And we have a fierce enemy, and that enemy is Satan. Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon," the Lord's talking to Peter here, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus had told Peter that Satan was going to sift him. Satan had desired, he'd asked to sift Peter as wheat. Peter had a spiritual enemy, and you and I have a spiritual enemy. And the Bible tells us to put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Later on, Peter himself wrote this. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." Peter had an adversary. That was Satan. But Peter also had an advocate, and that was the Lord Jesus. Luke 22, 32, "But I have prayed for you," Jesus says, "that your faith should not fail." Notice Jesus said here, "your faith." Jesus said, "I have prayed for you." Isn't it wonderful when you know that the people of God are praying for you? I began to be a pastor in 1995. I ended up out in the country pastoring. And I remember coming back to Sydney and visiting a man in a nursing home. And the man, years and years later, after I'd left the church in Sydney and was ministering in the country, this man was still praying for me. As I visited him and I looked out, the outlook was terrible. He had just a view of concrete as he looked out of this nursing home that he was in. The outlook was terrible, but the uplook was beautiful. He looked to the Lord Jesus. He brought all his concerns, and he brought my concerns and other people's concerns before the throne of grace. It was great to know that I had a man in Sydney that was praying for me. But even more wonderful is to know that I have a Saviour, and the Saviour's praying for me, and the Saviour's praying for you. The Bible indicates that the Lord Jesus is our advocate. 1 John 2 verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The writer to the Hebrews said, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he," that's Jesus, "ever lives to make intercession for them." Wonderful to know that we are being prayed for. Wonderful to know that others are praying for us. But even more wonderful to know is that we have the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd praying for each of us. He's interceding for us in heaven right now. And it's just so great to know that. Well, just in closing, Peter's denials depressed him. Luke 22, 62. "So Peter went out and wept bitterly." I believe that some of the most depressed people on this earth are actually Christians who fail to submit to their Saviour. I believe that there are some depressed people that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they deny his word. Jesus had preached his word for 3 years. Jesus had told about his death and his resurrection, and yet Peter doubted the words of Christ. The most miserable man on earth is a man that is out of fellowship with God. He went out, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Well, there's a good end to the story. My rooster ended up preaching each day, there's a new day coming. And there was a new day coming for Peter. And you remember on that resurrection morning, when the women go to the tomb, they see a young man. And we read this in Mark 16, verse 6. And this is the young man. He says, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Why was Peter mentioned specifically? No other disciple named there. Peter had gone out in bitterness, and Peter needed assurance of Christ's love for him. Go tell his disciples and Peter. The Lord Jesus loved Peter. And the Lord Jesus loves us. If you're a child of God, if you've trusted Jesus as Saviour, even though you fail him, he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. What a change in Peter. You know, we read in the book of Acts how Peter is bold and he preaches to 3,000 people, and 3,000 people come to know Jesus as Saviour. In the book of Acts, we read in chapter 4, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvelled and they realised that they had been with Jesus." What a change. A man that faltered in his faith preached to thousands. A man that faltered in his faith was bold. Bold in the face of imprisonment. Bold in the face of persecution. God could not use Peter until God broke Peter. And I believe that's the story of every Christian. God needs us to be humble. He needs us to be broken. And Peter, in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you had suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." There's a new day coming. Let us labour for the Master until he comes again. Let us labour while there's still time. Let us come to him in brokenness and find our strength in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this man of faith. And we thank you, Lord, that you broke him, that you humbled him. And Lord, we acknowledge that you can't use us unless we are broken. unless we have a contrite spirit. Lord, break us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.